Morning. Several years ago, a psychologist did a study on what people believe brings happiness. And most participants said some version of the same thing. If the circumstances fall into place, I'll be happy. But researchers noticed something fascinating. When circumstances improved, happiness only rose temporarily, and then it quickly faded away. But there was a second group of people, who had a stable, unshakable sense of well-being that didn't shift much no matter what was happening around them. Their joy wasn't tied to circumstance, but to a relationship and identity. To explain the difference, one of the researchers used this illustration. Happiness is like a balloon, big, bright, and floating high, but a little pressure can pop it. Joy is like an anchor, deep, steady, and unmoved by the waves above. That's what Christmas announces to the world. God didn't just come to make us happy for a moment. He came to give us joy that is deep, steady, and unshakable. Why? Because joy isn't about everything going right around you. Joy is about the right king ruling within you. So Christmas is the declaration that joy arrives when Jesus enters the world, joy spreads when we receive him into our lives, and joy expands and becomes unshakable when he reigns as king. Joy to the world, the restorer reigns, isn't just a lyric. It's a reality. Joy is not the product of perfect circumstances. Joy is the result of a perfect Savior who steps into our broken world, restores what's been lost, and reigns over everything. Now, before we go on, I want to make sure that we're all ready for Christmas Eve. I hope you've invited people. I really highly encourage you not to miss Christmas this year by not inviting someone to know Jesus. You can't force them. That's not your job. Your job is to invite them to know Jesus. And there's no better time than now. Listen, there are people within your realm and sphere of influence that are wondering, is this life? Is this what life is all about? How do I get joy? How do I get peace? They need to hear the gospel, the good news, either through you, both through you, and through what we're going to do on Christmas Eve. Because Christmas Eve is not something that happens every week. Sunday happens every week. Amen? I always say in ministry, you know, Sunday has this weird way of coming around every week, you know. But Christmas Eve and Easter happen twice a year, once a year each. And that's when people are most open. I invited some people, one person in particular in his family, and he said that they'll be here. So I'm going to pray that nothing will stop them from being here. Because if there's ever a time that Satan doesn't want people to hear the good news, it's at Christmas. He wants people to be depressed and discouraged. God wants us to be lifted up and encouraged. And that's what Christmas Eve is about. Also, you know what else is Christmas Eve is about? A tradition? Cookies. But you know where we get the cookies? From you. So if you don't bring them, we can't eat them. So please come a little early. There'll be a table over there that you can put your cookies on. Now, today we're talking about joy. Christmas Eve, we're going to talk about peace. So today, let's learn what true joy is and what it brings. Number one, joy begins when Jesus arrives. I mean, I think about when Jesus arrived into my life, the joy I had. Now, I don't know what it is about my son, Austin, but he always seemed to disappear. Once when he was a child, I lost him in the mall. And thank God he didn't get that far, because I would have never heard the end of it if I lost my son. Once when he was a teenager, we lost him at the ski resort. he had taken the ski lift all the way to the very top, unknowingly, and we didn't know where he was. And my wife, this went on for like 45 minutes. We couldn't find Austin. Then all of a sudden, we hear a microphone over the whole ski resort. Well, the parents of Austin Bardawal, come to the lodge. There he was, sitting there. And the anxiety and stress I was feeling was quickly replaced by joy the moment I saw my son's face. Now, think of the moment when a single announcement changed the atmosphere. The cancer is gone. Your loved one is safe. We found what was lost. The shepherds were sitting in darkness and obscurity, but one announcement from heaven changed their night into day. Joy is not the product of circumstances, it's the product of God showing up. Christmas is when God showed up. Now, not that he was never here. He's always here by his Spirit. But on Christmas, God showed up in person, as a person, Jesus Christ. And the shepherds were keeping watch over their sheep at night. It was dark, but light came shining forth as the heralding angels proclaimed, "Joy to the world, the Savior is born." And then they say this, read this with me. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." There's so much in there not to miss. So I want to go through this verse little bit by little bit. First of all, it says, "For unto you," that's a gift. "For unto you is a gift." It's the greatest gift ever given. "For God so loved the world that" what? "He gave." "For unto you" means that he didn't just come for the shepherds. He came for everyone. Christmas isn't just for the shepherds in the field. It's for the people in the world, including you. The angels didn't announce for unto the religious, for unto the deserving, for unto the talented. They said, "For unto you, for unto you." And the gift of Christmas was delivered with your name on it. You see, we forget, salvation is very specific. It's about you. It's about you coming to Christ. It's about you. God came for you. And Jesus wasn't just born near us. He was born for us, for us. So that's the thing. For unto you is a gift. Secondly, is born. For unto you is born. That's a moment. If you've had kids, do you ever forget the moment your kids are born? I hope that was a Holy Spirit song that was playing. Even though the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is timeless, right? He didn't just show up in a manger. He chose a moment to be born as a person. Now, if you were a king like Jesus, wouldn't you have been born in a palace and not a manger with smelly animals? You know what that signifies? His humility. That he took on flesh to live for us and die in our place. You know, my mother went to be with Jesus. Why would anyone want to leave heaven? Can someone, security? Security? Three times, not a charm, okay? Why would anyone, including Jesus, want to leave heaven? Would you, if you're in heaven, do you want to just come down here to this smelly place? Heck no. No. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. Now, we shouldn't forget that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ, not just anybody's birth. Now, he's always God, like I said, but he became a person to come to save us. And that's why joy begins when Jesus arrives. Third, for unto you is born this day, which means a time in history. Now, God doesn't tell us the exact date or time of Jesus' birth. It was probably between 6 BC and 4 BC, because his birth happened when King Herod was alive, that we know. And we also know that King Herod died in 4 BC. But the point here is that Jesus was born on a certain day. Now, was it December 25th? Probably not. December 25th became the date we celebrate Christmas because a church leader in the 3rd century appointed that day as the day of Advent, Christmas. See, the important thing is not the exact date. The important thing is that God came to earth during a time in history. He left timeless heaven and was born in time-filled earth. God lives outside of time, yet he chose to enter time for a period of time to do something that only he could do, which is save us from our sins. For unto us is born this day in the city of David. That's a location. God gave a location. Now, location is extremely important. The city of David is Bethlehem. And if you were here last week, you learned that Bethlehem is where the Messiah was prophesied to be born. Now, this issue became an enigma for the religious leaders who kept claiming that Jesus could not be the Messiah because he was from Nazareth. That's where he grew up. But they didn't bother to research the birthplace of Jesus because they were not interested in believing. They were just interested in keeping power and control, which is always the case with people who choose not to believe. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That's a purpose. Jesus came with a purpose. And the word Savior can mean deliverer or rescuer. Jesus came to deliver us and rescue us from impending doom, which is sin and death. His purpose, as he states himself, was to set the captives free. Do you know that Jesus' birth changed everything? It changed the clocks from BC to AD. And I hate that we use common era, CE now. I don't like that. It changed our world, the birth of Jesus, and it changed our hearts because Christmas is all about Jesus. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is. He is, which means he's God. Today a Savior is born who is. When Moses asked God to tell him his name, he said, tell them I am sent you. That's all you need to know, Moses. I am. He is. When Jesus spoke sayings like, I am the bread of life, I am the gate, I am the light, he wasn't just stating a fact about his purpose, he was stating the fact that he is God. I am. I am. And that was culminated in his most clear statement, which caused the religious leaders to want to kill him. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. I am God. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He is Christ the Lord, a King. Christ means anointed one or Messiah. Lord means master or God. So Jesus at his birth, he was already both Christ and Lord. He didn't become Christ and Lord. For the one born to Mary in Bethlehem is the same person who's raised in glory and is seated at the right hand of God in authority and is coming back again. Heaven came to earth that Christmas day. And that's why Christmas changes everything. Without Christmas, there'd be no hope. Without Christmas, there'd be no joy. The fact that God showed up and continues to show up should bring you joy. But I, like you, become distracted and fearful. What if the angel of the Lord showed up at your house and said this to you, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, including you." And you put your name in there. That's what was said to the shepherds. And in an instant, the dark turned into day. Now, these shepherds were working the night shift. It was dark, quiet. And isn't that when fear seems to visit you the most? When it's dark and quiet. Now, what if you could exchange fear for joy? Would you do that? Would you do that? Now, here I believe the key to achieving this is found in the two important words expressed by the angel in that verse, good news. The Greek word is euangelizo, which means to proclaim good news, and we get the word evangelism from that. If you're a believer, do you remember how pumped you were when you first received Jesus Christ? What happened? Did we lose our joy? Because Jesus is not the one that moved. Now, I think if you believe that it's good news, not only should you receive that good news, but you should tell others about it. I think when you tell others about it, you start to get your joy back. Try it. Try it. See what God does. See what God does. Now, I know my mother is with Jesus. Her body is here. She has a new body. But maybe it's time to proclaim good news to your soul. Like what King David did. Look what he writes. "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" He's talking to himself. "Why are you so disturbed within me, soul? Soul, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." He's saying, soul, you're not going to win. God is going to win. I'm not listening to those lies. I'm listening to God. I'm listening to Jesus. He is my Savior and my God. And the more you say it, listen, I'm like you. You know, I'm at home doing my thing, and I'm not constantly telling people about Jesus. But when I do, something changes. And I'll tell you what, when I come here and start singing about Jesus and start talking about Jesus, that joy comes back. Try it. Joy begins when Jesus arrives, but the question is there room in the Bethlehem of your soul? Secondly, joy spreads when Jesus is received. Christmas is something that must be received. Luke 2:14, read it with me. "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." The word there, favor, is eudokia, which means goodwill or pleasure. Now notice it says peace to those on whom his eudokia rests. Because peace, like joy, is not something that you can manufacture. You can manufacture fake joy, fake peace. But peace and joy are what you receive from the giver of peace and joy. When you receive Jesus Christ, you receive eudokia, God's favor, because you believe in Jesus Christ. God's favor rests upon those who have received joy. Great joy by receiving Jesus. A couple spent years in the adoption process, and they did home studies, background checks, interviews, waiting, more waiting. and every step felt uncertain. Until one day they sat in a small courtroom while a judge reviewed a stack of paperwork. And then the judge looked up, smiled, and said, "From this moment on, this child is legally and permanently yours." Now, nothing about that child physically changed in that instant. Same clothes, same face, same fears, but everything changed. The parents cried, the child smiled, because now he knew he belonged. Later, the mother said something profound. "The joy didn't come because our home suddenly became perfect. The joy came because our child no longer wondered, 'Where do I belong?'" When you receive Jesus Christ, you don't have to wonder where you belong anymore. You are in the family of God. Look at this. Read this with me. "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." How do you become a child of God? How do you receive him? You believe in him. When you receive Jesus, God doesn't just forgive us. He adopts us. We're not visitors in the house. We're not guests on probation. We're not employees trying to earn approval. We are sons and daughters with full rights, because here's the key. Adoption joy is not circumstantial joy. It's identity joy. That's where your joy comes from, when you know who you belong to. Joy spreads when Jesus is received by faith, not because life instantly gets easier, but because we stop living like orphans. We start living like children. And then once we receive joy, we spread joy by sharing the good news with others. So again, this Wednesday is a perfect opportunity to spread the joy of Christmas. And by the way, I'll be singing two songs that I wrote in that service, and they're both available for download to bless those who come. So number one, joy begins when Jesus arrives. Number two, joy spreads when Jesus is received. And number three, joy expands when Jesus reigns. See, the baby born in a manger is a king. Anyone heard of the Handel's Messiah? You know, that song was originally written for Easter, but it's one of the greatest musical pieces ever created. Every December, a choir, somewhere singing it, written by George Frederick Handel. And it culminates with the infamous Hallelujah chorus. You know what? Hallelujah. You know that one? Let's try it. Go.
Hallelujah.
Holy moly, that was not bad at all. You like started on almost the same note. Praise God. That blesses my soul. But in the middle of that chorus, there are words that are proclaimed loudly straight from Revelation chapter 11, and it's this. Read it with me. "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever and ever and ever." Hallelujah. You know it? Listen, it's not just a song, it's true. Christmas is about a king who reigns forever and ever and ever and ever. And although he reigns forever and ever, check this out. There was a moment in time when he came to reign in your heart. For me, it was 1991. What year was it for you? Shout it out. You remember it. Clear as day. Love was not an easy game to play. No, just kidding. Now, the king who reigns forever and ever came to visit us when he came to Bethlehem. And today, he reigns in the Bethlehem of hearts that believe. But let me ask you a question, and this is important. Are believing and reigning the same? In other words, can someone believe in Jesus yet not allow him to reign in their life?
No.
It's possible. Believe me, I see it all the time. They don't obey God. See, the answer to that question, unfortunately, yes. Someone can believe in Jesus and choose to disobey Jesus and his word. That's not reigning. That's you reigning. That's not Jesus reigning. Now, when that happens, when you choose to not let Jesus reign in your life, joy diminishes. Joy diminishes. Joy expands when you let Jesus reign and be the Lord of your life. Because I know this, there's people who say, the Lord is my Savior, or Jesus is my Savior. Well, what about the next part? My Lord. Is Jesus your Lord? You know, Joy to the World was written in 1719 by Isaac Watts. And it was never intended to be a Christmas carol. It was kind of like the Handel Messiah. It was based on Psalm 98, which celebrates God's reign as king and the coming day when the Lord sets the world right. That's why Joy to the World, the lyrics don't mention shepherds. They don't mention angels. They don't mention wise men. They don't mention a manger. Instead, you know what they mention? Victory, restoration, joy filling the earth. Because this song is not about a baby in a crib. It's about a king on a throne. Listen to the lines carefully. Joy to the world, the Lord is, sing it. Let earth receive her king. That's not just Bethlehem language. That's kingdom language. And later in a weird, obscure verse, I didn't even know was in here. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. You know that's in there? You know what that verse is pertaining to? Genesis chapter 3, where the curse was laid upon the earth for the sin of mankind. Jesus turned that around. See, Watts was writing not a Christmas carol in the sense that we know it. He was writing a victory song because Jesus came to reign. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. And here's the key. I love that. Let earth. It's a choice. You have to choose. We often sing Joy to the World like it's a Christmas lullaby, but Isaac Watts wrote it as a victory anthem. And it's not just a celebration of a baby, it's the declaration of a king. And wherever the true king reigns, joy follows. Because joy is not based on sentiment. Joy flows from sovereignty. Joy to the world, the restorer reigns, the king reigns. We know he reigns in the universe, but here's the question. Does he reign in your heart? Is there room in your heart for him to reign? Because here's the thing. Joy expands when he reigns. Let earth receive her king. Let, put your name in there, receive her king. If you've received your king, is he your king? Now, theologically speaking, he's king no matter what. I get that. But you're not living like it. I'm not living like it. If you haven't received joy by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will never have Christmas joy, true joy. You will never have peace. You will constantly be in a state of flux. But you don't have to live like that anymore. Is there room in the heart, in your heart, for him to be born this day? You know, for unto us a Savior is born this day in the city of David. Is there room for him to be born this day in your soul, in your heart? That's the question. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you came to restore all things that were broken, including our lives. The baby in a manger is the king. Let earth receive her king. So first, I want to offer the opportunity for earth. If there's anyone in here who lives on this earth, which we all do, who has not received your king, you do that by believing in the king, Jesus Christ. And you open your heart and you let him in and you say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you. And there really isn't anything else to do after that. Jesus did everything. It's about belief. Joy comes when you receive Jesus. But joy spreads when he reigns. So the other question is, let earth receive her king. Is there anyone in here today who lives on this earth who will confess, Jesus, I'm not letting you run my life. I'm trying to still run it. And I'm sorry. I confess. I know I haven't had joy and haven't had peace because I've been trying to run the show. I want you to run it, Lord. I want you to take over. I want you to be the Lord of my life. And Lord, whatever that means for each person, I pray that we would be sincere in our prayer. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.